is found in your pew Bible on page 1056 and 1056, both pages. It'll bleed over. It is James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And if you were following last week, James just lowered the boom, if you will, didn't he, on us about our usage of the tongue and sort of how serious that can be in the life of the church. And from that moment, from that very verse to this text, he basically just goes and starts off again. So listen and hear God's word from James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good life, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without uncertainty or insincerity. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for our time together this morning with this passage. And as we stop and consider it, we ask you to speak to our hearts and to our minds so that as you teach us about your wisdom, we may be empowered to teach another. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was in seminary, working towards my MDiv so that I could preach in the pulpit on Sunday morning, my professor and mentor told me that good preaching was never cliche preaching. He said that good preaching never has an element of cleverness to it. He said that cliche preaching like this is the tool of a weak mind that cannot dig into the theological meat of what a passage has to say to the preacher and to the audience. Now, I don't know if Andrew, my Scottish professor who I'm talking about, was thinking about this passage from James 3 or not when he said that to our class many years ago while leaning on the lectern as he was wont to do. But as soon as I read James 3, I thought of Andrew, and I thought of that moment, and I thought of what he was saying, and I wondered if it would challenge his statements. For it can be easy, very easy, when we read passages such as this, to fall into his line of thinking about cliches. It might sound like things like this may pop into our head when we read this. Well, if we just walk the talk, we'll be okay. That's what James is telling us. And while some of that is certainly true, I think the author of this book, of this passage, is challenging the church to linger a bit longer with this text and wonder a little bit more about what new things are found there. Perhaps something we did not anticipate or expect when we took that deep breath from reading and hearing about the tongue earlier in this passage to now reading about this wisdom stuff that's happening in our text today. For James is not talking in any way, shape, or form about superficial answers to how do we adopt the mind of God or adopt that wisdom of God or understand that wisdom of God, young people. James is instead challenging us to sit with such a complex idea, such as God's wisdom, this heavenly wisdom we're to aspire to, and wonder about how our human, sinful, selfish minds can adopt it moving forward. And more than just adopt it, how are we able to take that wisdom, what is from above, and share it with even one more person? As we sit with this and these concepts, they begin to surface, we can also wonder about the applicability of them, not just right now, and not just with that one person, but moving out to all persons who we meet. Today I want to say something about this type of thinking and ask each of us to consider what new idea, what challenge to your perspective is James putting forth here as he waffles back and forth, gives us two big baskets to work with today. Perhaps what he's saying can change the church, just as if we understood that we're all made in God's image from the tongue material last week, we will be different. Again, in our text, we're presented with two different forms or schools of wisdom. Let's consider them one at a time first. The first concept that James gives us, we will label as human wisdom or earthly wisdom. And James said strong things, didn't he, about that in our text, which is not unexpected. He's talking to the church. We might assume that James could potentially be wagging his finger at us as he's talking about this human wisdom, what it looks like, how it manifests itself, where he says words like jealousy in our text, or boasting, or selfish ambition, which I'm sure you heard. We would expect that from human earthly wisdom. But we can add additional defining concepts that help strengthen the message and meaning when we look at it. We can rightly add to James' definitions that he gave us ideas like envy or rivalry, is another translation of these words, or superficiality into this discussion. And they fit very well as we think about earthly humanistic wisdom. This is the wisdom or the choice framework that you and I in our text, as we start with it today, are being warned to avoid. Don't go there, James is saying. All of these traits are more than just thoughts or directives that lead our minds onward. These are very tangible things in James' mind that he sees in the church. Remember, he's talking to us, not to them. He's talking to us. He sees this, these rivalries, these superficialities, these thoughts and actions are being adopted, James sees, in the church that he's working with. While they may sound like cliches or the societal expectations, while they might sound like things we try to reject, they are very fluid, very real things that each of us deal with in our daily lives. We are not here as the body of Christ worshiping together. These are, for James, manipulative practices and manipulative choices. Or as an author that I had recently read would say, these are first order thinkings. It's about me, my choice, my desires, my rationale. This ties very nicely again to what we talked about last week when we consider the tongue and the damage that it can do to the individuals that we come in contact with. Remember, young people, that thing you said, that thing you heard, which one was worse? It's painful. Well, last week we were encouraged to see the individual made in God's image and likeness. This first level of wisdom James is giving us, this earthly human wisdom, says it doesn't matter. It's about me, not about them. It's all about me. And while that line of thinking is necessary at times for James, right now it's not. If we read and listen to what James is saying in this type of thinking, it is counter, finally, to the gospel that Jesus gave us. For he was always about something different. Contrast that humanistic, that earthly, superficial rivalry wisdom with what James offers next, what we might call the second order, and see how it's being reinforced from last week again. Second order thinking helps us identify and track the implications of seeing that we are all in this together because we are all God's children. Well, the first section, if you were reading it with me, you notice the first section is longer and contains stronger language. James, in this part, does well to help us understand the aspirational wisdom that God calls the church to adopt, for it is his wisdom. It is who God is. James transitions from heavy concepts that might weigh our hearts down into a discussion of heavenly wisdom that has a different tone. We could almost feel, I hoped you could almost feel, the underlining tonal shift that happens as we transition from verse to verse. And the contrast is quite apparent. Heavenly wisdom leads to righteousness in the life of the individual that can be shared and spread with those we meet. Notice how the wording in verses 17 and 18 seem to flow together, concept to concept, tied together. This makes it easier to share that flow, God's word spreading in our community with our neighbors. While the first section, 14 through 16, seems to have terse stops to them, a clunkiness, if you were listening, that I hope caught your ear when we were defining human wisdom, this section of God's wisdom is very different. In this section, we don't hear that stop and start and those hard concepts here. It's just a flow that moves from one to the next, on and on down the line. Thereby, we learn that divine wisdom, the thing that the church is being encouraged to seek and adopt in our lives, is a process that moves us along a continuum toward becoming more disciple-like, more Christ-like, more God-like. Consideration, submission to others and to God, merciful and impartial. Each idea that James laid out for us in this passage builds upon the previous, forming almost a pathway back to God. For as we take each idea and adopt it in our lives, we find our hearts and minds are being changed and reformed and remade. Divine wisdom asks us that we become humble ourselves, humble with each other, humble as we come before God. It's quite a difference, these two baskets or forms of wisdom. You see, what is happening here is more than just a discussion from James about how to live or think rightly, how to be wise and what earthly wisdom is compared to God's wisdom. It's more than that. This passage is more than just figuring out how to master the right cliche or the right phraseology to effectively witness as Jesus would ask as we move out into our community, be among each other. Because God's image is with us and flowing from us. No, beyond all of that, we are trying to create a right relationship with our community and with each other. Where we can, by example, testify to how we once only used that earthly wisdom to explain and understand and frame our worldview. But now, because of Christ at work in us, we see it differently, we live differently, we choose differently. We think differently. It's aspirational, this stuff. It could look something like this. Rather than through rivalry or climbing over the individual, rather than dividing them we look deeply at them and we see gently, compassionately, and sincerely how God has made that person special, unique, and blessed. This certainly is a deliberate choice for us as the church to live into. We do not envy what we see or have rivalry with what's out there, but we regard them as part of us. And we live with God's wisdom. For that is what the world does, this division stuff. And you can speak to it. And they do it well, and it's efficient for them. Rivalry, skepticism, doubt, those can seem like attributes in this world, but God's wisdom that we're finding in our passage looks deeply at the other person and says, you are worthy of him. You have meaning to him. You are valued by him and by us. Then by confessing this choice, we demonstrate ourselves as seeking to live towards righteousness and bearing fruit as our passage ends. And more than just creating right relationship with other people based on some sense of mutuality because of God's likeness in us, we are moving away from an all or nothing thinking as the church. The church was never asked to be this, and James knew it. We are a house built and founded upon that mercy and grace God gave to you when you fell short of the glory of God. We have all felt the solidarity of falling into that place. And in those moments, someone helped us fall back onto God's mercy and grace. Earthly wisdom spins us out of control, away from God, and into thinking that aligns us with private best interests, while leaving God's call aside for now. And so while my professor reminds me that whenever I see him, that I am not to be thinking cliche, but thinking theologically and digging into this, James gives us in this passage a real world methodology of how that could look. We put away their wisdom. We stop listening to the human wisdom, their choices, the things that do not come from God necessarily, and we embrace the process of aligning ourselves with God, of leaning upon his wisdom, going down the path of righteousness, and we are different, and they see it. Let us pray together. Loving God, we are grateful to be your gathered church this morning. Grateful to be here with you, being challenged with tough stuff. Wisdom, your wisdom, how it looks, what it sounds like, what it feels like. Help us as we continue in our worship time today, Lord, to take what it is you have for us in this passage and make it our own. And as we make it our own, give us the encouragement, the strength, the willingness to share that with another person who themselves is in that very place we've been once. Help us help them to find your wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen.